Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
My name is Dave Reed. I'm a senior engineer for Palantir.net, a company based here in Chicago. We're helping organize the DrupalCon conference, and we're doing a lot of fun Drupal 7 work. Very soon, we'll be launching the Field Museum website in Drupal 7. We helped convert it from a legacy CMS to a brand new Drupal 7 website. And it was a little bit interesting because we put it in development way before Drupal 7.0 came out. So we had some interesting challenges with fighting the release deadline and modules that weren't quite ready yet. But we got through it, and we were very happy to be part of their Drupal website.
So talk a bit about some of the modules that you had to port from D6 to D7 for this museum website.
So a couple of the modules that I actually maintain that I helped port, the Path Auto module, and with that also the token module for Drupal 7. So those are available in beta, and we're using those on the Field Museum website. And I also converted the Path Redirect module to the Redirect module in Drupal 7, where we're kind of looking to combine functionality from other redirection modules like Global Redirect, putting it all in one and just making it easy for end users then. So.
Cool. Yeah, it seems like a lot of the modules that you help maintain are SEO related in some way. So are there any other ones that you had to sort of update to use for the site, or you know, the status of those in general?
Well, I actually wrote a new module that was very interesting for Drupal 7 that a lot of people found useful. It's called the Field Injector module. And basically, in your content administration, where you're ordering where your fields are displayed on nodes, you can say, I want to inject this image field inside the second paragraph of this body field. And it's something people always use custom code for. And we wanted to implement a reusable solution that people could just drop in and configure then, and also allow their site admins who don't want to touch code be able to say, okay, I want to move it to the third paragraph, and just be able to easily configure it.
I think a lot of web companies that are building like really huge websites, they look at Drupal 7 and they're like, all right, it's not quite ready yet. And then for the smaller sites, it's sort of, you're getting to be that point, and you know, you've obviously built some either larger or smaller sites on Drupal 7 now. So talk about like, you know, how was that experience of like, is Drupal 7, like, was it ready yet, or is it ready now?
Well, it's challenging, but I think we're kind of at an advantage with Palantir. We have several top Drupal 7 contributors. We've got Larry Garfield, Ken Rickard, the maintainer of the domain access module, John Albin, the maintainer of Zen, and just all-around themer master. So we kind of have a lot of expertise in handling Drupal 7, and we're able to handle a lot of the challenges and bug reports that we found. We, you know, helped fix a lot of bugs in Drupal 7 to help contribute to that release, getting it out faster. But it definitely was a challenge since there were lots of modules that weren't ready yet that we tried to help contribute to porting and providing patches for those. And we were also being honest with the client too, always in contact with them about the status of Drupal 7, status of all their modules and all their features, saying, hey, we probably just can't do that right now. Let's maybe consider dropping that out of the 1.0 launch of the site and considering that in 2.0. So, and it, having a flexible client like that and being able to communicate with them is really, really important when you're using Drupal 7, or, you know, maybe down the road when you're looking to try and start a site with Drupal 8, you know, next year. So.
And how did you sort of pitch that to the client? Was it like, you won't have to upgrade from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, you'll sort of save on migration costs, but you may have some more upfront development costs to sort of get it launched? Or, you know, what were some of the, how did you present those types of trade-offs to the client?
Well, I wasn't involved too much in the actual presentation to the client, but Drupal 7 was actually starting to hit alpha status, and being as we had so many experts on the staff, we knew that it would be much more advantageous for the client to just start with Drupal 7. That way they would have a site that would last for, you know, 3-4 years down the road, you know, maybe until Drupal 9 comes out. Whereas if they started with Drupal 6, maybe in 1 year or two, it's no longer going to be supported when Drupal 8 comes out. So, and they were excellent working with us and being patient, and we were upfront at saying, hey, it's gonna be a little bit more work, but it's going to be very interesting. We're gonna give you a site that you'll be able to easily administer. And plus there's also many advantages that come with Drupal 7, like with the overlay for content administrators. You know, it's just a much nicer experience for the people that aren't using any code on the site. And so that was very nice to be able to offer them as well.
Was there anything functionally that they couldn't really do easily or at all on Drupal 6, but they could do more easily and make it possible in Drupal 7?
Well, one of the things that we actually custom wrote for them and just released this week is the Workbench module. It's kind of moderation for Drupal 7. It's a whole suite that by default, Drupal 6 or Drupal 7 doesn't do very well. You know, there's either published or non-published. And so you can add many customizable states. You can have your content editors and your content creators with different roles and permissions to be able to publish, unpublish, mark back for editing. So having that was very, very helpful in improving the experience. Unfortunately, it's not in Drupal 7 itself. We provide it as a module, but we are hoping that we can merge some of that into Drupal 8 then.
Okay, and you had mentioned the possibility of like one of your pet projects is starting a Kickstarter campaign to do like a delicious bookmarking distribution. So maybe you could talk about like what's involved with that.
Sure, so kind of the whole Drupal App Store controversy that's been going around recently, people have been talking about funding projects, and there was the whole dilemma with, is Yahoo shutting down Delicious? Oh my gosh, where are we gonna take all our data? And I think Dries and a couple other people are, well, why can't we do that in Drupal? Why can't we have a social bookmarking profile? And no one's really done it yet. So I've started it as a, calling it Droopmarks so far right now. And it's kind of in planning and initial development, but I'm probably going to open a Kickstarter project to let other people contribute and kind of help fund that development. Because I think that'd be very useful for people to be able to just drop that down on their personal site and have their own bookmarking system, or it could be used to run a, you know, pay-for service as well. And it planning to have one-to-one API integration with the Delicious service and use the services module for that, and just lots of cool features that make it very useful and for Drupal. So.
Cool. And do you have like any other caveats or like big lessons learned with working with Drupal 7 that you wanted to sort of share with people?
Just always do your research. That's the big thing. If you're going through and looking for features that you want to implement, always do a full amount of research, you know, talk with those module maintainers to see where they are, you know, hey, are you going to be porting your module to Drupal 7 anytime soon? What can we do to help you? If not, you know, maybe you want to reevaluate that. You know, come to DrupalCon. You'll get all the Drupal experience and get to talk with those people. So, yeah, it's just always, you know, making sure that you're doing your research, staying involved, not trying to not stay on the outside, but, you know, come in, step into the community.
Cool. And finally, maybe you could talk about just sort of like other sort of Drupal 7 plans that either you, anyone else at Palantir or any projects that you have coming up that you're working on, that you're, big things, modules or anything else that you're working on.
Sure. A couple of us, Jen Simmons is leading an HTML5 effort and she works for Palantir right now. So we're trying to all kind of help push that effort into making first Drupal 7 HTML5 compatible and be able to do that, and to also make sure we push that support into Drupal 8 core itself, so you don't have to install any modules for that. So we're working to get full support with using Form API, using HTML5 elements, and also using it in your theme as well. And for my personal projects, I'm possibly investigating putting Path Auto into core, or a Path Auto Lite, kind of a basic version of it. And kind of just helping clean up all of our APIs, the Entity API, just kind of making things easier for developers that we kind of threw in towards the end of the development cycle. So, yeah, I'm just looking to help kind of clean it up, polish, and get Drupal 8 out a little bit faster than Drupal 7.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
All right, thank you.